9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This podcast presents information based on theory and conjecture. The creator's purpose is to suggest some possible explanation, but not necessarily the only ones to the mysteries we will examine. Remember, everything that you hear from this podcast comes from sources on the internet, and remember, if it's on the internet, it should be taken with a grain of salt and judged by your own discretion. Come take a journey with us as we explore topics of the occult, paranormal, conspiracy, and other dark subject matter. Welcome to the Dark Matter Podcast with your host, Mojo and Dr. Clutch.
Well, we are back. Yes, we are. We are back on for a special edition. I don't know if Nathan or Woody will come back, but I think the audience likes that. I think the audience likes that. We are back here with Dave. Random hey, standard. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir. So I'm going to take a second or two to go link this out to a couple of sites that I maybe give some listeners or something like that.
Oh, absolutely. And I was, it gives us a chance to at the least, look up to see if Woody had given me those emails. I did send him my last one to make sure. I'd like to get him connected if possible, as we should all be connected, don't you think? Yeah.
Yes. Is he up in Canada? Is that the Canadian?
Yeah, he is a Canadian. Yes, he is. He is a Canadian. Right on. That is good to know. I mean, he was telling me about some pretty interesting things about the trucker convoy and how they were trying to take away take away some of their rights, and that some of the police officers that were involved with were actually UN troops in disguise. Isn't that interesting? I was hoping you'd talk about that.
Wow.
Well, maybe we'll get him back on. I am really attempting to see if we can get Nathan back on too. See if he'll come back on. There we go. I'm sending him a message now. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. If not, it's just me and you, Dave. You're going to be the special guest for tonight. And we'll hopefully hopefully try to get Woody back on. Maybe he will follow on, get on here.
Do you archive all your shows and stuff like that? I mean, I imagine you do. I mean,
everything gets sent out. I am involved with like a lot of, like right now we're going to be on iHeartRadio and a bunch of different other platforms, including Podbeam. What is the other one that I got? Let's see here. Spotify. Yeah, we're on Spotify. Okay. We're on a bunch of different places. So all of this is going to be posted there, post-recording for other people to listen to. I've started out, I had a podcast for about 5 years working with people who didn't really want to work. So it ended up collapsing, and, we were doing pretty good. We started getting some celebrities, and that was called To the Same Boat. And, and that was going on for 5 years, and then I quit for a little while as I was going through my – my awakening painful process of rebirth, and then I came back with Clutch, and we did the Please Stand By podcast for about a year, and then Clutch had to rethink his life, and and then he came back, you know, as long as there was the indication that if he needed to go do what he needed to do, and it gave me a heads up, like, you know, he's in Japan right now enjoying one of his favorite bands, Baby Metal, right now, and just he loves Japan.
Oh,
yeah, he's studying Japanese. Yeah, he's a bilingual guy that is that's a traveler. He's a traveler.
That's wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
So he's out.
We have friends. They allow to have passports. It's amazing. No, I'm kidding. Wow, it's crazy. Now he's San Diego, right?
Yes, he is San Diego.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Yeah, El Cajon. You were talking about that on the other podcast, and I was just like, is it a portal town? I mean,
that's the rumor. I mean, a lot of people that have lived there, you know.
Fucking place is dark, man. It's been like, my God.
In fact, there was a place, I don't know if you remember it, but there was a New Age bookstore there for a long time called Inner Journey.
Remember that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
I used to talk with the people that owned that store. In fact, the guy LK Barnes, Lawrence Cosmo Barnes, is the publisher of the book The Necronomicon by Simon. And
really?
I actually met his niece and stuff. And yeah, looks like we got Woody back. Come on in. Let's go ahead and invite Woody back. Woody is back. Oh, it looks like Nathan's not going to be able to make it. It's okay. So it's going to be the three of us. Good.
So, Mo, I've got three emails now from me.
All right. Let me just check that. I'm going to go ahead and you guys go ahead and do some discussion.
Sorry. I don't know.
That's right.
What am I calling you? Random Standard?
My real name is Dave. My last name is Standard. Whatever is good, brother.
No, I tell people you call me whatever you want. Just don't call me asshole. But I mean, that's a pretty thing to call me anyway. So
David's fine, man. It's
Canadian. It's pretty much impossible to offend us or me anyways, but say whatever you want. But
I have not been there. I've got a musician buddy of mine that we work on a little bit of music from time to time. And he's a pretty cool guy, but yeah, he fills me on some of the stuff that's going on up there. And yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. What's your location up there?
I live in the interior of British Columbia in the middle of the mountains in the middle of nowhere where there's as few people and as much land as you could possibly imagine.
Sounds like a dream, man. It's where I would want to be, man.
It is. I've worked my whole life to live here. I'm from Toronto and I hate the city and sure. I wouldn't trade where I am in this world for anywhere.
So you got stars up there. You can actually see stars. That's great.
Oh, dude. I was just going through some videos, and this summer there was an intense amount of activity with the Northern Lights, like incredible. I have so many unbelievable fucking pictures and videos from my door, from like my front door, man. Like really, really amazing shit. I got a new phone in the spring and all I wanted was a decent camera on it. And it was a refurbished, it's an iPhone 12 Pro Max. So it's like,
they take good pictures. You know,
it is incredible, man. Like I just was watching a time lapse I took of the sky one night when it was super clear and the satellites going by and the stars, man. It's just, it blows my mind. I'm kind of a,
yeah, it's I took it for granted for years. We had property in Central Coast, California, by between LA and Frisco, but closer to Frisco, in Paso Robles, California, right off the 101. And man, it's just like the last year we had that place, I was up at the cabin all the time, and the stars are just amazing, 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 amazing. And I saw some crazy stuff, some crazy, crazy stuff.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, I just sent you an email back of a picture of the Telegram channel and of my own personal.
Oh, awesome! Now I can actually figure that out and put.
That'll be a little helpful for you. And I think the links that get sent through Telegram basically are a temporary one, right? Like if you don't answer it right away,
I'll say it.
You know.
Huh.
But yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do a share invite too for this new one real quick, put it out there on the Facebook channel. I think they've decided to shadow ban me for a statement I had said to JP Morgan Chase. Because, you know, they're connected. We know that they're connected or was connected with Epstein, right? You know?
Who isn't, you know?
That's what we were talking about last show. JP Morgan Chase was also the owner of the trail, the railroad train that was derailed in East Palestine.
They did
that too.
All bad.
And they were all the darkness is surrounds, but at least we know who the demons are, right? Yeah, it's kind of funny because I had liked JP Morgan Chase, right? Just so I could go talk shit on Facebook. But, you know, you can't really you have to test the boundaries of your prison, right? The bars, the walls, inmates aboard this prison planet that we're in, and especially the ones that try to censor your voice. So I figure if I haven't been in Facebook jail at least 100 times already, then I ain't doing anything right.
Wow. You know? Yeah, I barely get on there at all, man. It's just you know, I used to be real good with computers and all that stuff. And, you know, the more we get advanced, it's just the more everything's is not advanced, you know. Why can't you just make it all easy? Oh, we could. Why we don't do that?
You know? All right. Well, do you guys want to talk about personal, like, experiences that you've had or I've had that are unexplainable?
Well, I'll give you a quick rundown on. So what I sent you, there's a sound clip. And then there's a video. The video, you can't see anything really. It's dark. So that was the first experience I had with Bigfoot. I was out 10 clicks out of town, middle of really absolute nowhere, with my girlfriend at the time. And we were watching a meteor shower. And it started with these. And you can hear them in the sound clip is really good because you get it. That's where we were sitting when we started hearing them, and you can hear them very clearly surrounding us in that. And you hear her get scared, and then we fuck off. I started calling back to them, and as you'll hear in the video, she says something about, "Well, you told me you're not supposed to do that. Why are you doing that?" And I said, "Well, I'm kind of stupid, but also I'm really intrigued right now. So like, I'm just trying to, you know, feel this out a bit, right?" So we went down the road about half a mile and stopped, and I again got out of the car and made a few of those calls and heard a couple that were sort of moving with us in a sense, like, you know, we drove half a mile and they're still only 100 yards from us, kind of thing. And then did it again. And the second time we stopped, you'll hear, and you got to listen for the first callback from them closely because it's quiet, but it's distinct. So I make a couple of calls, then you hear something call back at 100 yards, say roughly away. And then I make another call, and then you hear the shit hit my underwear because there's something that back 10 feet from the fucking truck in the bush, like right there. And man, I'll tell you, I've spent a lot of time in the bush by myself and I don't get scared very often, but you can, my reaction says it all. And you can hear the dog in the background start panting all of a sudden, right? When we stopped, and that video, that's a really cool clip. I feel
and dogs don't lie, man.
I will check it out. I will check it out. I'm downloading it right now.
Yeah.
Downloading your information if I learned anything from South Osman is he can play stuff over his microphone and be able to play it on the air. So,
yeah,
maybe we'll get a chance if it gives me some time to do so to play a clip of it. That would be great.
And thank you for that South Osman hookup, man. I stayed in the chat room the other time when you left the other night, and he was just like, "Oh, you know, give me shout outs, play me music." He's a funny guy, man. He's really cool.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's
was kind of hoping he'd come on the show tonight, but I don't know what's going on with him.
We've got a group of us that do podcasts on here together, kind of thing. And there's like three people tonight that kind of fight for everybody's attention on Saturday night. So it's a big night for
Okay.
I'm here. Just know that I'm here. This is. I wanted to talk to you guys. You piqued an interest in my that, and I like that. So yeah. Let me see if you can hear this. I'm going to play it right now. I don't know if you can hear it. Tell me if you can hear the dog panting.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
That was me. And that.
Whoa.
I'll go back and let you listen to that's the sound.
Holy shit.
And like I said, that was originally, they were, I would say, 100 to 200 yards away surrounding us and then moving in closer. And that was 10 feet. Like, that was off the road in the bush, just in the tree line, like right
you,
there.
You were
right?
So, in the car at that time with the windows down?
I had the door open and I was standing between, you know, like I was standing with, like, leaning on the door, basically on the same side as that thing makes that sound. But
now I've watched some other videos and people have basically talking about the same thing you are. And the sound that I heard was very similar to that, but also varied in you know, like coyotes. They say, you know, you hear coyotes talking back and forth all the damn time. And
yeah.
And that's crazy. Very bird-like, very, you know.
But I've spent hours and hours on the internet going through owls, night birds, sounds. Sure. I've sent those clips to so many different people, and again, I'm trying my best to put a logical explanation to this, but
crazy.
Yeah, and
that's crazy, man. Thank you for sharing that.
Les Stroud, the Survivor Man guy, shot a hour and a half long documentary in the valley here on Bigfoot, and got some incredible interaction and footage and
is he still active?
Yeah, this was only a couple of years ago he did this documentary, but it's on Amazon Prime.
Great.
And it's right here. It's all shot here. And he actually records one night the same sounds, and he relates it back to them using it as a homing beacon, right? Like a location sound. Wow. to for it with each other, right? But yeah, and I went back the next night and had the same experience, man. It was absolutely mind-blowing. And I got to the point where I stopped. I drove down the road a bit. I stopped in front of this field and made a call out, heard a call back, and then I heard two, like, really distinct knocking sounds. And then, again, I drive a one-ton diesel pickup truck. It's 10,000 pounds. I was sitting in the driver's seat with the window down, and I could feel this whatever coming across the field. It was a clearly a two-legged, two-step something that was big enough. And I don't know, man. I've come into moose. I've shot cow. I've never experienced something like that. They could actually make me in my truck feel it coming.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've lived half my life in the city and half my life in the absolute country. And you know when something is out there. You know when is something is what a deer is. You know when heavy footfalls, and you know
when it's coming towards you. It's absolutely terrifying.
I'll tell you what's terrifying, and they're all over California. Mountain lions. They're wild. They're, yep. And they're all over the place, man. They're just, you know, because they've been protected, and you know, they used to be very solitary creatures, but now they're finding that they're running in packs again. And I would track them, man. Every morning I'd wake up, I'd see new fresh sign, and then I catch them on my trail cams and stuff. Never seen one. I know they've been hanging out in trees above me.
I shot a cougar 2 years ago, and that prick, they were like, yeah, they're not quite the same size, and but like, man, same sort of terrifying animal that will destroy you. Right.
I pissed on my property everywhere. I mean, every time I had to take a leak and I was outside, I'd no, really, you make them.
No, I know. You know. Yeah, no, I've heard that before.
You got to. I've seen carcasses of stripped deer, man. I mean, down to the head was gone, but everything else was a full skeleton of a deer, man, and all just little bits of flesh everywhere. It's amazing, dude. I mean, it's just like, oh my god, you know. It's, and they got to eat a lot too, so but they're crazy. They're crazy, and yeah. they have a crazy call too. They do. And it's not like what you'd think. You're like, what was? And it's terrifying, but it's very it's similar to what that sound was, like almost a more bird like. It's wild.
Well, if you've heard of David Politis, he does the missing 411. Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
411.
Yep.
Where people have been gone missing from state parks. Right. And they have these clusters. You know, there's one that's not far away from here. And recently he's gone from alluding to like portals, mm-hmm. different energy centers and vortexes, usually by rivers and lakes and running water, which is interesting because one of the major rivers out here near Idaho in Coeur d'Alene is a major source of a running, you know, form of a running river near what they would say is a spiritual center of vortex. But he there's a place called the Montana Vortex, right? And it's similar
what
to
river is that?
It's in Montana, probably kind of, you know, I can look that up for you if you want.
Columbia you're talking about?
The Columbia River is more west. That's kind of north of here. If I was to drive like an hour, 45 minutes away from Spokane where I live, I could go up to the Columbia River near Colville, Washington. But there's a river that goes through Coeur d'Alene. We can take that look at that real quick. But let's look up the Montana Vortex real quick. And I got all of my computer technology in front of me to look it up right here. It's a lot like if you've heard of the there's a house out in the Winchester House has a lot of these weird vortexes stuff. And this is really similar to that.
There are vortexes all over that area.
Yep.
All over that area.
The Montana Vortex and House of Mystery. The Montana Vortex is a genuine quantum or gravitational anomaly that defies the laws of physics and nature. Is a unique place where humans can see themselves shrink, grow, take pictures to prove it. Rated 5 stars on Yahoo for Travel Guide. This family fun for the entire family to go to the Golden Vortex. And it's Columbia Falls, Montana. Yeah.
Huh.
And so it's similar to that. But the guy that he interviewed on that vortex basically says that he sees like Bigfoots, UFOs, ghost anomalies, orbs. The whole gambit runs all over that vortex. But also missing people have been, you know, there's stories of missing people. He did the Missing 411, the UFO Connection, which was the last movie that he had done where there were hunters that had been taken by what they look like as black triangles, you know, alien encounters and all sorts of stuff. So like he doesn't seem to point the finger specifically on each thing, but you know, there's weird stories like, you know, people walking in the woods and all of a sudden they see like a ladder that just appears in the middle of the woods. And they don't know, but people have gone up those ladders and then disappeared, right? Or people that have gone missing and they don't remember where they were and they found them on mountains, you know, like on the top of a mountain miles away.
So that exact situation was told to me from a native elder about a situation that his cousin got taken by a Bigfoot out camping one time. And that's exactly what happened. He 2 weeks later showed up in the middle of nowhere and couldn't remember anything. Like, and his everything, his soul was sucked away from him. He wasn't he was just a shell after that. Like
forever.
Yep.
Yeah. Whoa. Wild. You know, I mean, I've known lots of people who do illicit substances too. And, but they, you know, they were always kind of, high receiving people, but you know, the more and more they, you know, did their drugs and stuff, the crazier and crazier their theories got. Well, some of them weren't theories, just nobody wanted to listen to them because they just said, oh, you know, bless his heart, he's you know, he's out there. But yeah, there's I've seen so much crazy stuff from where I grew up. Lockwood, California is the name of the town, very small. The original El Camino Real goes from, you know, San Diego to all the way up the coast. And They'd changed the original route just to make it more simple and straight through the years, but it used to run through my property. We have one of the earliest missions, the third mission ever built. It's the furthest one away because it's the furthest one away because they changed the 101 basically. But there are so many great stories I can tell you about that place, man, that the government has shut down. People who were, you know, trying to write a book about it, and they were born in the 1900s. So, you know, when they were 12 years old, they remember seeing crazy, crazy stuff, that, you know, oh, you can't write this book. And, Aztec gold and digging up brass doors. I've got lots of great stories that have been passed on to me. And I believe every single one of them, man, because it's, you know, they're not far out. They're not far out. It's just, you know, people just like, oh, wow, yeah, whatever. Yeah, wild stories. I got a Native American friend who lives up there now, and he knows a lot. He knows a lot. I don't know if he'd be willing to come on the show, but he could tell you some stories if you would. He might not be, but I could ask him, man.
You don't know till you ask.
Go ahead.
No, I think you don't know till you ask, and the worst he can say is no.
Yeah. A lot of people up in that way who've been living up there, like we had for a long time, they tread lightly when it comes to the government and all that stuff, because Fort Hunter Liggett was the name of the property, and they were literally our next door neighbors on our property. I mean, I could spit 50 feet from the cabin, and it was their property. Always explosions, muffled explosions you hear up there all the time, you know, underground kind of stuff. I've seen it all. They did all the testing up there, Abrams tanks, blue Black Hawk helicopters, lasers, this, that. Oh, man, just wild stuff. I've seen people disappearing in the middle of fields, you know, like your TV kind of gets pixelated every once in a while. I've seen a shape of a human being do the same thing. Blah, 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 gone. Wild stuff, dude. I mean, yeah, it's scary times we live in, man. And
well, yep, definitely, man. My experiences happened when I was really young, though, man. Like, I think that I don't know what it is, man. Like, I've talked about this on Oz's channel, and
I know a few of your stories for sure. I mean, you told me over the years, absolutely.
Well, there's you know, I think there's a connection between people that have had like traumatic events happen to them. Like, I'm not a victim, man. I'm a survivor. Right. I've gotten through it.
Absolutely.
I think that there is a connection between people that have PTSD and paranormal, or being sensitive or empathic. Mm-hmm. My father was a very crazy manic person, and at one point in my life when I was 2 or 3 years old, I don't even remember it, but apparently he thought he hadn't been sleeping for like almost 2 weeks. And he thought he could kill me and resurrect me. And I found out about that later on. And I didn't, you know, I mean, he passed on. So what am I going to do? I forgive my father for his shortcomings. He was just he was a human being. But, you know, throughout my life, a lot of the experiences I had to deal with what people would call gray aliens, you know. Hmm. But it was also spirits and weird dreams, visions, those kind of things. I mean, leading towards my awakening, I had a lot of like what I thought was time speeding up. You know, I don't know if that's just a perception or not, but I've actually felt time speeding up. I've felt like when I'm near something, I get like kind of a feeling in the pit of my stomach, not quite unsimilar to anxiety.
Right.
And then time starts to slow down. Mm-hmm. And so I've had more than a few experiences where, like, one of them was in a Walmart one time. I was working at Walmart. It was my first job when I moved up here to Spokane. I had worked in lawn and garden, and I was on my way to the outside to go and, you know, just work out there and do whatever. And as I was passing by Sporting Goods, time started slowing down. I started seeing like what looks like the trails of dust kind of come down. I'm like, oh shit, something's going to happen. And I felt a sort of a nervous feeling in my stomach, and I look and everything's slowing down, and I saw what looked like it wasn't human, but it was pushing a shopping cart through through sporting goods, and the best I could say. The best I could say it was like a distorted, like what you would think of as a cartoon, like amoeba person. And I was just like much like my what I thought was a Bigfoot or a strange encounter, I just was like, nope, not today. And I just kept walking back outside. And then I turned my head to look at it because it like noticed me. And I looked back and it was just a really ugly, like looking person, like I guess it was female. But I mean, it was brief, but I saw it in Walmart. I had a few encounters, more than a few encounters, what I thought were people pretending to be people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was in San Diego.
All kinds of creatures at Walmart, right?
Well, that goes without
saying. That was my first at Walmart. That was my first at Walmart, actually. That was my first, but I mean, if you talk to if you listen to Dr. David Jacobs, okay, and he talks about like a clandestine takeover from hypno regression therapy from people that have been abducted. Once he gets through the barriers of like this climate change thing or world calamity or that they're here for peace, he finds out that there are people that have been supposedly training some of these hybrid aliens, right, to go shopping, how to use a microwave, how to watch TV. And he speculates that this is back when Walmart was 24 hours, right? Is that they usually live near an apartment complex, not far away from a 24 hour, like food place or, you know, retail market. And that they, you know,
time for your interacting with the humans.
I guess so. I don't know. I felt like I had a lot more. I mean, I'm not trying to say like, I don't know if that was real or not, but it definitely felt like in each of these experiences in my reality, that these were genuine experiences. They weren't just some like hallucination or something, you know?
Wild, know. Man. Wild, man.
That's just a story I have. I'm not, you know, I couldn't tell you what it was, you know. I couldn't tell you if, you know.
Well, that's
it just sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't. Right. Not to me, man. I just, you know, I know I've seen things that I question myself, and when I question myself, and it sticks in your craw, and you can't shake it, you can't get it out, or you know, I mean, you know, who knows yourself better than you? You know, nobody. And so it's just, you know, and I'm you and me, bro. We've lived some crazy times, man, together, apart, and all that stuff. And so I know you know what I'm talking about here, and how we've come across on the positive side, which I feel is a positive side. I think you're just as mad as you've always been. I think you're more stable now. You know, you're happy. You seem happy. You got a wife, and I'm so proud of you and happy for you, bro. And
oh, thank you.
No, you know, I've seen we've all grown for sure, dude. But you know, you've always been cool to me, dude. I always knew.
I could tell you guys. You guys want to hear a story about what kind of led to an escalation of what I thought were like gray experiences?
Ooh,
you guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, for sure. Okay. I love to hear it.
In 1986, okay, I was about 15, 16 years old, okay? I lived on a house which was at the foot of Mount Helix near an area called near Fuerte Road.
Yeah, okay?
There was a Fuerte Elementary School down the road, okay? And I lived on Marcia Lane, which is on the top of a hill.
I know where all it is.
At the time, we were somewhat well off, and we had like a house that was two-story with sort of a loft on top of the house, right? And I'm sitting up kind of late at night. I think I was drawing or doing something at that time. I distinctly remember it was one of the nights I wasn't getting high when I was 15 or 16. And I was up late at night, and I decided to go to bed. right? And so I turn off the light, and my window was kind of open, and I go to lay in bed. My beds were facing east, and there are windows. There was at least three windows, one facing east, one facing south, and one facing west. And then there were stairs that led down to the downstairs. And as I went to bed and turned off the lights, I noticed that what looked like a tire of some kind and like a little red light that was circling. And something was hovering outside my window. I turn on the lights really quick to find out what the fuck that is, right? And at the time, I had nothing to really go by. I had seen what looked like remote control airplanes and stuff, but I didn't know what a drone was, right? But what I saw was completely silent, and it just kind of started taking off the minute I opened up the window, and it was a grayish, I don't know how to explain it. Like, well, the only reason how I knew it was a drone later was that they were using drones of that kind in the Afghanistan war during like the time of when Obama was president. Okay. Yeah, someone is calling in right now. Looks like we got, are you calling me again? Okay, there we go. And shortly thereafter, I started having like almost evasive gray experiences. And it wasn't until after I moved away from that house into a place, what we call Rancho San Diego, which is sort of like a track home area where all the houses look the same, is when I had this experiences. And one of them was, I don't even remember going to sleep that night. I just black out, and then I wake up. I'm at my old house that I had just moved to. I'm walking through into the driveway between our house had a garage that had a dual gate that went from the pool area to the front yard. And I walk out, and there's two octagonal silver-shaped craft. I see a vision of, like, I'm having a headache. I don't know what the fuck's going on. There's a sort of a real metallic deep voice in my head saying something. And as I'm walking out, these three octagonal shaped craft in a vector formation flying low, I walk out to the front of the garage. And then something caused me to say, "Don't leave me here, please." And one of them landed to about the size of a toy. And as I got closer, this thing just grabbed me, and the thing got huge. And then I'm having visions of like Mayan masks, and it sounds like, you know, like Tibetan monks chanting. I see wires. I'm in a white room, but which looks like a dentist office with an alcove to the left that looks like it came from the floor. And there's little 4 foot tall, like white. They weren't gray. They were whitish. Like crawling all over the place. And then I see something in, like, looking at me in the face, but I can't make out its face, and it's distorted. And then I wake up and it's completely black, and I have a huge, just headache into my head. Like someone had taken a hammer and a spike straight through my skull. And as I wake up, I have a pillow over my head, and I'm sleeping on the couch. And then as I'm waking up and I can't move, there is a gray alien with his hand up in a satchel, and it's just disappearing.
Gee. Wow. When it disappeared, what are you talking about? How did it disappear?
It just faded out. Just faded out.
All at once, just kind of. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Then I had like something try to grab me from the television set, like it was a gray. And it like was a swirly like color as I'm watching TV. And then it tries to grab me, and then it like it snaps its fingers when I pull away from it. It goes like that, and it has a little smirk, and then it backs off, and then it swirls back. And I had like those were multiple things that happened to me. I had a zapping sound in the back of my neck that sounded like a Tesla coil for a while. And it just started coming in and out, but they could never just take me. Like they couldn't take me like they did before. And I'm not sure if I saw something that I wasn't supposed to see, because you've heard of like military abductions or MILABs, right? And I think I saw that drone, and I wasn't supposed to see it, and something was imposed on me. Now, I don't know if it was fucking aliens or not. At the time, I believed that this was an encounter with like grays, and I believed in aliens and shit. But you know, and they still come from time to time. But I think I saw a drone back in 1986, like observing me through my room. And then it just 2-3 months later, I'm having these experiences.
Well, why wouldn't they get more and more intense, you know? Because, I mean, once you're kind of open to that realm, once you've been, you know.
Let me just tell you this, like, because I, like, when it happened to me, it was so vivid, right? It was so weird. Like, I had, you know, I'd always been scared that my father was, his mental illness was going to rub off on me, right? Like, I had gone to therapy for not being a very happy child, very rebellious. My mom had sent me there, right? And when I mentioned this to my therapist, what they did was they put me on a cocktail medication. They put me on a bunch of medications, and then they're like, oh yeah, something happened to you. And then they got a bunch of diagnoses, only to find out that those diagnoses were exacerbated or were maybe misdiagnosed because I was not sleeping correctly and nobody had put me in for like a sleep apnea thing, right? Well, the thing is like after I had gotten good sleep, you think if these were hallucinations, right? Or if they were something due to lack of sleep, that they would go away once I had good sleep, right? Well, they didn't go away. Now they're shared with me and my wife and anyone else that's around me. So that's my experience. One of my experiences there. I had a few of them up here too, more than a few. Here we go. We're sharing the paranormal.
Well, as we come closer to that time, whatever time that's going to be, some say 2030, some say this or that, you know, I think there's going to be more connections. And why, I don't know. There's always been something about you, Joe, that, that you just don't go blabbing about, you know. I mean, you talk to anybody about anything and you don't care if they think you're crazy. I mean, but you don't come off crazy. I mean, even when you were crazy, when we were doing crazy stuff, you were always pretty, I always thought pretty grounded. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and you never tried to push. Thanks. You never tried to push anything. You were like, hey man, check this out. If you're really interested in it, check this out. You know, you're into the shamanism thing at one point, and you're like, hey, there's this book, and check it out. If you don't want to, that's cool too. But you know, and you gave me a couple pointers, I think I remember, and you know, that's you've always been about all of this stuff, and I think that you're I love it. I love it. I just hard to find people to talk about with it, you know, who you trust, because that's all temporary nowadays, it seems. You know, I've been looking for a tribe forever, you know.
Yeah, I get you, man. Well, we all awaken at different levels, don't we?
We
all realize what's happening. Hey, Woody, you still there?
Bigfoot.
Does it look like Woody's still there?
Woody? Perhaps he's gone.
He might not be here. It looks like he's still.
It looks just us. Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. Yeah. El Cajon. That whole area is crazy, man. Mount Helix. I've heard lots of people talk about. Last couple of years, I was there in San Diego, and now, of course, they were a little bit crazy people, but they had some old maps to San Diego back in the day. You know, when it was still like pretty much desert, and they said they're showing me mines and areas of mines, and these guys were going out to like a place somewhere near the trolley tracks between, I don't know, it was somewhere in Spring, between Spring Valley and La Mesa there on the trolley tracks. And they were finding gold, real gold. It was crazy, man. Yeah. I mean, not a whole lot of it.
For me, I don't have a lot to hide anymore, man. Like, you know, I mean, I have an open forum now to be able to share what I feel. If people think I'm nuts for what I believe in, I just don't care. I have to learn to try not to be so much of an open book. And, you know, one of the things that I found myself going into is looking into, and I've always had an attraction to it, where was looking into the wisdom of the past, right? Like past masters, past, you know, from everything from samurai culture to my current, what I believe in is like heathenism or warrior culture or There's a new book that it's not new, it's been around since the 90s, but there's a book called The 48, let me look it up real quick. The 48 Laws of Power. And it talks about different people in history, from Sun Tzu to even people who were considered common. Today, basically, what we consider immoral behavior is basically natural human behavior that was pretty typical place what you'd call courts, you know, and kingdoms, and those who kept their power, you know, and how they kept their power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to listen to those things, right? To get into these, to the past, I find my present and the possibility of my future.
Absolutely, man.
That's what I found. You know,
I've been doing my genealogy. You know, it's not the same topic exactly, but I've been making connections pretty far back now, and there's a lot of real important people throughout my direct history, not just like six cousins twice removed. It's six great grandfathers signing the Declaration of Independence and things like this that, you know, I only went to look into because something my grandmother said to me, it's wild, dude. It's you're right about looking into the past. You know, I think everybody's so lost on the, self-importance, and it's just like, oh my God.
It was when I was young, like, I think I tried to go for the hookers and the cocaine before the record deal came.
Right.
And I always thought that, that there was this possibility that, like, no matter how hard I worked, that I could rise up through my art, right? Or sure. Through music, right? Only to find out that my music, you know, being an artist, was taking an oath of poverty, right? And the closer I got to understanding the music industry and how it was working, and how it worked in San Diego, at least, was that you had to be rich in order to go on tour. You had to have money to be able to make money. You had to be able to have money to buy a publicist. You had to have money to have connections. And most of the people that were making it had these connections with people involved. Go ahead, Dave. My wife is calling me real quick. Let me just absolutely, go ahead and take this. I'm going to mute myself. Okay.
Sure. Hello out there in dreamland. I don't know if anyone's listening or not. Dave from the East Tennessee Mountains here, just chilling out, hanging with my buddy Joe. I've known him for 30 years. We come and go and reconnect all the time at the weirdest times. And, it's no coincidence, I don't think. Just out here like the rest of you, looking for something of meaning and
I'm back.
Okay.
Yeah, she wasn't too happy that I was still on the air. Normally, I only do an hour and a half, so I'm probably gonna have to.
You gotta go, man.
I do.
Yeah, man. Take care of the family. It's the most important thing, man.
Yes, absolutely. So we're gonna go ahead and end this broadcast right now. And, cool. Thank you.
I will contact you. I'll contact you later on, and we'll talk through the week.
Sounds good, brother. Have a good day.
All right, man.